All right, time to jump into the Word. We're going to be in Genesis chapter 15, and I'm really excited about this. And I know sometimes I say that every week. Okay, maybe I say that every week, but this is one of those that I'm really excited about. And if I'm honest, I know I've read this before, probably numerous times, but I read this and heard about this, and I don't recall ever reading this. And maybe it's because what I saw was so profound that, and it, you know, like sometimes I talk with Bill all the time, like you read it and then you're like, I didn't see this before, and it's new and it's fresh, and that's how God is. He makes all things new. It's not like the Word of God is new every time, but it's the revelation of this truth that's new again and again and again. So I'm excited about what God's going to share. And before we jump into that, what you need to know is that it's all about Jesus, okay? As you read the Word, it's all about Jesus. And anytime you approach the Word, you need to be asking, God, show me Jesus. Where is Jesus? Where is the church? What do you have to say to us? And as soon as you begin to see it in that lens, it's so complete, it's so full, it's so beautiful. And that's where we want to jump in today. So I'm just going to ask that the Lord would give us eyes to see, and that God would help me. God, help me, help me, help me. Help me to speak this. God, fill me with your truth, Lord, that I'd just be an empty jar where your word just spills from. And Father, I ask, Lord, that you give us ears to hear. God, I ask for a heart that's ready. Father, I pray that all of us would be able to hear and receive this word as the word of God that is living and active and has the power of life and life eternal. So God, we're thankful that we're not just here bumbling around hoping to figure out, but that you have shown us who you are and you've shown us your way. So God, help us. God, we're saying yes to you. God, we're waiting for you. God, even in this moment, we're waiting. What do you have to say to us? And what do you have to say to me? So thank you that you're here, that you're good, that you're not a stingy father. You're a good father. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Genesis 15. Not to pick on Bill, but Bill says this all the time. It's really simple. It's really simple. It seems like that's again and again. The things we talk about with the Lord, again and again, gets brought up. It's really simple. And it is. It's so simple. And it's really all about Jesus. What does this come down to? It's all about Jesus. If you could conclude every day with this, it's all about Jesus. Oh, it'd change your life. It would change the city. It would change the world. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And as we jump in, I want you to see this. I'm calling this God's one-sided agreement. God's one-sided agreement. So Genesis 15 is about Abram. So in chapter 12, God had begun to speak to Abram. It says, I am going to bless you. It wasn't because of Abram did anything, okay? It's not like he was a special somebody, and God was like, oh, finally, someone special, someone I can use. No, God chose him and said, through you, all the nations of the whole world are going to be blessed, and I'm going to do it through you. You're not going to do it. He's like, I'm going to bless you, and through you, the whole world would be blessed. So through Abram, he was going to be a conduit of the blessing and favor of God. It's unbelievable, but God started with a promise. God promised that to Abram. He didn't do it right away. He just said, it's going to happen. It's going to unfold. All I'm asking from you is that you would believe me. That's it. Would you believe me? That's all God was asking. So sometimes we read the Bible and we think, okay, this happened on Monday. This happened on Tuesday. Boom, 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 boom. And that's just not how this plays out. As we read this story, you need to know that there's about probably like 10 years before this first promise and where we're at right now in this story. So a lot of time has unfolded. And before this promise even begins to be realized, it's another 15 years. So a lot of time happens, and God keeps interjecting again and again into the story, giving promise. And don't lose heart. Don't lose faith. Remain faithful, Abram. And God eventually calls him Abraham. God eventually, through him, gives a son. And you know what? The whole nation of Israel is birthed. And you know what? Through that seed of Abraham, through that seed of faith, Jesus himself is born. And it's ultimately through Christ that all the nations are going to be blessed. So this was the start of the seed of faith fulfilled in Christ. And we get to be part of that story. I want you to see this. Like, we're a part of this story. Abraham is the father of faith. And now through Christ and faith, we are brought into this story of God. You are. Think about that. It's amazing. So verse 1 kind of recounts all these things that have happened. So God gave him a promise, said, leave, go to the land I'm going to show you. Because, yes, all the nations were going to be blessed, but part of the promise as well is that there was going to be a land, there was going to be a place that God was going to give them. So Abraham left, and he went on this journey, and there's lots of ups and downs. There's a lot of hardship in this call. So sometimes we hear promises from God that are really exciting, and even we'll see in this passage a little bit. Yes, the promise is exciting. It's great. It's grand. It's marvelous. But there's also hardship in it. So Abraham, if you read chapter 12, 13, 14, you'll see these ups and downs, these trials that he has to go through. But then in chapter 15, starts off saying this, after these things, all this drama he had to go through, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Fear not, Abram, I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. He doesn't miss words, does he? God just says, Abraham, I'm showing myself to you again. Fear not. Don't be afraid. And beloved, you need to know that that's always, I mean, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not, fear not is all throughout the scripture. And fear is the enemy's first arrow at you. And as humans, that's our first response when things get hard, is fear. So the very thing that God says right away is, fear not. Don't be afraid. Keep leaning on me. Keep trusting me. I know it's been hard. There's been a lot of difficulty, but don't be afraid. And then he says something so beautiful. I am your shield. I am your shield. You know, truth be told, I can read that. It doesn't really mean much to me. Shields, okay, a shield. But think about this. You know, a shield is something that protects you from something. So God is saying, I am your shield. If something needs to get to you, they have to come through me first. Isn't that amazing? I am your shield. You are behind me. And if the enemy or anyone wants to get to you, guess what? They come before me and through me first. And dare I say that he is sufficient to be a good shield, right? He is a good shield. You know, like, remember, this is Creator God who spoke all of creation into existence. So he's saying, anything that I created, anyone that I created that wants to get to you, they have to go through me. So don't be afraid. Isn't that beautiful? I am your shield. And again, he talks about this promise. It says that your reward will be very great. So hold on. I know it's taking a long time, but hold on, Abraham. I'm calling you to have faith, and I'm calling you to believe. And then verse 2 through 5 said, but Abraham said, O Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my home is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, you have given me no offspring, and a member of my household will be my heir. And behold, the word of... So I'm going to stop there. So you know what's amazing? God speaks to him. God encourages him. God says, here's the promise again, Abram. And he's like, thank you. Thank you. But what about the promise? Do you see that? Like, what about the promise you said 10 years ago that through me all nations were going to be blessed? Like, thank you that you're a shield. Thank God. But what about this promise? Like, I don't see anything. I don't see how you're going to do this. And I'm childless. Like, you promised a nation, and it's still me and Sarah. Like, we're just here. And the only heir I have, the only thing I can figure out in terms of, like, how you're going to do this is this dude called Eliezer of Damascus, who is the chief servant of Abram. That's it. That's where your promises... That's the only thing I can think of. And I think of this, you know, when the scripture says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding. This is Abram saying, here's my understanding, God. Eliezer, is it? Is that your great promise? Is that what you woke me up in the light at night to reveal to me that my servant was... Where are you? I don't get it. And he expressed these doubts. Like, I don't see how this fits. You know what's amazing about this? Is God isn't offended with Abram, you know? He's not offended by his doubts. He's not offended by his frustration. He's not like, oh my gosh, you little child, you. You know, I talk to you. You know, like, what else do you need? No, he's such a good father. He's not frustrated with Abram's frustration. He's willing to receive it. And one thing you need to see is there's a difference between doubting the promise and denying the promise, okay? There's a difference in this. So Abram is doubting it. He's like, I believe you, but I don't see it, and I don't see how. There's a difference between doubting it, where you're just like, I don't see how, and denying it, where you're saying, there's no way. I refuse to believe that. There's a complete difference. So Abram's doubting it, and God's addressing his doubt. And as you see this unfold, you'll see God is such a good God. And in the place where Abram is, he meets him and helps him with his doubt. So it moves on and it says, behold, the word of the Lord came to him. This man, Eliezer, is not going to be your heir. That's verse 4. Your very own son will be your heir. And Abram's old and there's no son yet. But God's saying again, you're going to have a son. Your very own son. And verse 5, so God, I want you to picture this. God brings Abraham outside and says, look towards the heavens. So I want you to picture God spending some time with Abraham. Look up at the stars. I want to give you a little bit of an analogy, a little illustration for you. Look up to the stars. I want you to number the stars. If you're able to number them, then he said, so shall your offspring be. Isn't that amazing? All right, Abraham, I know you're doubting, but I want to give you something to think about, that every night when you go to bed and when you look up, there's going to be this little reminder to you that that's what I'm going to promise you. As many of the stars you can see, try to count them. That is going to be yours. That's going to be your family. I know you don't have any son. I know you think Elliot, but I'm telling you, you're going to have a son. And do you know what's going to come through that son? Look up at the stars. You know what's so beautiful about this? One of the stars is going to be the bright morning star. That was one of the names of Jesus. Isn't that awesome? One of those stars is going to be the Savior of the whole world. So shall your offspring be. And then verse 6 says this, and this is a verse that this is the gospel, okay? Like way back in the Old Testament, God is revealing what the good news is. And it starts with this faith. Verse 6, and Abram, he believed the Lord, and God counted it to him as righteousness. Oh, wow. So God lays out the promise, and Abram says, I believe you. And it was counted to him, it was imparted on him as righteousness. And righteousness is, think about it, right relationship with God. See, you remember way back, Genesis 3, that relationship was broken, it was marred, it was beyond repair. The separation and the divide between God and holiness and humankind was impassable. There was no way. We are completely separated by God from our sin. And here, there's this longing for right relationship with God. And here we begin to see this unfold, that Abram believed God, believed the promise of God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. God said, that is righteousness. Are you kidding me? Isn't that incredible? It wasn't because Abram did anything. Do you know what Abram did? He doubted. That's what he showed up with. I believe you. Help my unbelief because I don't get it. And God helped him out. And Abraham says, I believe you. I believe you. And it was counted to him as a righteousness. Isn't that awesome? It has nothing to do with you. It had nothing to do with Abraham. If you read Abraham's story, you will know that he was not so great. You know, like there are giants in the faith that go before us. But do you know why they're giants? They simply said, I believe you. I believe you, God. That was it. That's it. So Abraham believed. And this is such it's funny. Like we talk about belief and belief in God. And I want to make a little clarification because I hear a lot of people say, I believe in God. I believe in God. But James says this, even the demons believe. Even the demons believe. So there's a little bit of a distinction here from believing in God and believing God. Do you know what I mean? A lot of people believe in God. Yeah, there's a God that exists. But there is only a few who walk on the narrow road through the narrow gate who say, I believe God. Do you see the difference? I believe God. God. I believe who he is, that he is God over all things. He is the Lord over all things. And Jesus is the Savior. He is the Master. And he was the one who died and paid for all sin. And through him, through faith, we have eternal life. I believe in God. I believe there's a God. I believe in God. Beloved, we live in a place that is okay with believing in God, you know? People are okay that you believe in a God. You know, who that God is, well, that's a can of worms, okay? We won't talk about that this morning. But I believe in God. It's okay to believe in God. But to believe in God, the one, the great I am, that's a line of distinction. So Abram believed God. You know, like he wasn't having this encounter with God and be like, you know what, I believe that you exist. I believe God. And it was counted to him as righteousness. And beloved, the whole New Testament, this is the beginning of faith. Salvation through faith. Grace alone. Faith alone. It's all here. I want to read just a part of Romans chapter 4, 16. Says that is why it depends on faith in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherents of the law, talking about those in the Old Testament, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Verse 18, in hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so your offspring shall be. Verse 19, He did not weaken in faith when he was considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. Verse 20, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew in his faith, and he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why faith was counted to him as righteousness. By the words, it was counted to him, were not written for his sake alone, but also for ours. It will be counted to us who believe in him, who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord. So this isn't just a Bible story of Abraham. Like, this is the story of faith. This is the story of salvation by faith alone. It is God's grace only. We don't earn it. We don't do anything except believe God. Not believe in a God, but believe God. This is where our whole faith rests. All about faith. But it's a faith that believes God. And it is counted to us as righteousness. So when we receive the good news of Jesus and we believe it. And I think there's a God, but we believe it. That God is who he says he is. And God did what he did. And I believe that. I believe that his salvation was complete and it covers all of my sin. And through faith, I believe that that payment was for my sin as well. Enter into eternal life. You have been counted. That faith is counted to you as righteousness. Now, it's not that you were righteous. You see, this is that your faith has been counted as righteousness. Isn't that awesome? Thank you, God. Not because Abram did anything. But this is just the beginning. This is the beginning, and this is where God further unfolds this. Hear this. Okay, verse 7. After he counted this faith as righteousness, and he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to possess. But then he says, oh God, how am I to know that I'm going to possess it? So back to the promise. How do I know? How do I know that you're going to do this? I don't get it. Verse 9, but he says to him, bring me a heifer 3 years old, a female goat 3 years old, a ram 3 years old, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he brought him all of these, cut them in half, and laid each half against the other. But he did not cut the birds in half, because they were little, I assume. And when the birds of prey came down on the carcasses, Abram drove them away. Okay, I want you to picture this, because this is gruesome, this is nasty, this isn't a pleasant sight, okay? So Abram gathers these animals, cuts them in two, and places them on each side, okay? I want to meditate on that, but not too long, because that's not a pretty sight. But we're going to get to see the beauty of this, okay? That's what Abram does. He begins to get a contract or a covenant ready to sign. That's what this is. In ancient times, this is how people would go into covenant with each other. This is the contract that they would make with one another. There would be a sacrifice of an animal cut in two, and they'd be placed on each side. And what would happen is that they would split the carcass in half. And when they would make the contract, when they'd make the covenant, the agreement with each other, whatever it was that they were going to agree on, then what they would do, with blood and these dead bodies on either side, the two of them would walk through and share the terms of the covenant. What is the covenant? What is this agreement that we're going to do on? And the significance of it is this, that the covenant is so serious that, one, there was death involved, and it had to be made with blood. It was so serious and significant that it had to be made with blood, and it involved death and sacrifice. And two, the other part of it was this. It implied this. If I do not hold my end of the agreement, what happened to these animals, do it to me. It's that serious. It was a covenant, okay? Like, it was a binding contract. Essentially, there's no way out. This is what is going to happen. This is the agreement. That's how they used to do covenant. So Abraham is getting it ready to make a covenant with God, okay? That's what's happening. But then it says that Abram waited. So he gets this all ready, and he's sitting there, and all of a sudden, birds of prey start, and he's shooing them away, okay? That's what's happening. He's waiting on God, and God's not coming, so he's shooing the birds away. Okay, hold on, because it just gets unbelievable. All right, verse 12 says this, as the sun was going down. Okay, do you see time slipping away? So Abraham's waiting. Now the sun is going down. Late in the day, a deep sleep fell on Abram, and behold, a dreadful and great darkness fell upon him. Then the Lord said, this was in a dream, to Abram, know for certain that your offspring will be sojourners in a land that is not theirs and will be servants there, and they will be afflicted for 400 years. But I will bring judgment on the nations that they serve, and afterwards they shall come out and have great possessions. And as for you, you shall go to your fathers in peace, and you shall be buried in a good old age, and they shall come back here to this land in the fourth generation, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. So get this. We're waiting. Sun's going down. God puts him in a deep sleep. But it's not a happy, peaceful dream. It's a bad dream. And in this dream, God is revealing that his people, you know that? Your descendants are going to be like the stars. Those people are going to actually be sent into slavery for 400 years. So part of the promise is there's going to be some hard things that are going to happen. But you know what? I'm going to bring them out. I'm going to bring them out. So, beloved, you need to know this, that the promise of God, all the promises are yes and amen, but sometimes the journey is really hard. And sometimes there's a lot of pain. But do you know what? God always comes through on the promise. Always. In the end, it's worth it. It's always worth it. That's how it always unfolds. So Abram is having this deep sleep, okay? Now get this. When the sun had gone down, okay, more time. So the sun was going down. He has this dream. Now the sun is gone, okay? It's dark now. Abram's waited for God for so long. Read this, verse 17. When the sun had gone down and it was dark, behold, a smoking fire pot and a flaming torch passed between the pieces. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, to your offspring, I will give this land. From the rivers of Egypt to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Kenites, the Kenizzites, the Cadmonites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Rephaim, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Gershites, and the Jebusites. I don't want you to focus on the names because they don't mean much to you. But they represented the land that God was going to promise. Did you see what just happened? Abram is in a daze. He's sleeping off to the side. He's whistling and having sweet dreams. He's off to the side, and he saw God. He saw God do an amazing thing. So God showed up as a smoking fire pot and as a flaming torch. Now before we go into, you know, like you think of this, smoking fire pot. When the Israelites were in the desert, the Lord, the very presence of God, went before them as a pillar of a cloud, you know? So that was speaking of his presence. It was a cloud by day, and it was fire at night. The very presence of God. So God shows up as this smoking pot, this cloud, and as fire, and passed through the covenant being cut. God did it by himself, went through the covenant. See, the covenant was with Abraham, but he was sleeping. He was sleeping on the side. And God went through the covenant by himself. Isn't that amazing? You know, when you make a covenant or an agreement or make an oath, you always swear on something greater than yourself. Like in the courts of law, you put it on the Bible because the Bible is the word of God. So help me God. But when you are God, there's nothing greater. When you say something, it is, because it is the highest law, right? So God, while Abraham is sleeping on the side watching, he's watching this, and God passes through the covenant, the agreement. God cuts the contract by himself. But see this. On that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. Sleeping Abram. Off to the side, Abram. Do you see this? Do you see the covenant? That it's not between us and God saying, I promise I'll do my part. I'm going to do my part, God. I know you're God, you're good, but I'm going to do my part, God. No, this goes back to, it's really simple. It's all about God. Do you know all that Abram did? I believe you. I believe you. He didn't even go through the contract. God did. God held both sides of the covenant. He held both sides of the contract. I hold the entirety of this promise. All you need to do is just believe. Just believe. And God himself ratified the agreement, and he put his own name on the line. Do you see this? God is saying, if I don't hold my part of the covenant, be it like these animals to me. So help me God. You know? But here's the deal. God can't lie. God can't lie. So when God makes a covenant, it is true for eternity. You know, the only thing that is going to remain for all eternity is the word of God. And on that day, the Lord made a covenant with Abraham that through faith, he was going to be counted as righteous. And they were going to be given a land to possess. Isn't that amazing? Now, this is where telling you, like, this is all about Jesus. And Miguel, I want you to come up here, and we're going to worship. This right here is the covenant. This is the covenant right here. You know, like we talk about the symbol of this, and we say, okay, the bread is his body, the cup is his blood, right? I'm going to read a passage in Luke that talks about this. It's in Luke chapter 22. Verse 19 says this. This is the end. This was when Jesus was going to go to the cross. Actually, let's go ahead and pass this out. And go ahead and let's just come and grab it. Go ahead and grab the cup. Taken as believers. This isn't a ritual that we do. This is about Jesus. This is all about Jesus. So even as we pass this out, I want you to even come before the Lord. You come before the Lord. And if there's anything that God's bringing up that you need to deal with, ask me to deal with it. Forgiveness. If there's any sin that's between God or another person, We need to deal with it first. Talked about Abraham being asleep while Jesus walked, no, God the Father walked through the animal carcasses that was split in half. There was blood, there was dismemberment, and that was how the covenant was being written. So Jesus, when all was said and done on the final days, says this: "This is my body which has been broken for you." Do this in remembrance of me. Do you see that? Do you see what God did? Jesus was the one broken that through faith you would be counted righteous. Isn't that unbelievable? Jesus was the one broken. So when we remember Jesus, we have righteousness. We are made righteous through faith. He made a way. He made a way when he made a contract with himself. Not because anything we do, but because he is God and he is good, and he made a way when there was no way. So Jesus, when he broke the bread, he was saying, "This is all about me. Right relationship with God is all about me. I am the sacrifice. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. Let's partake together.